The G-Men podcast brings you inside our community and lets you listen in on the conversations that empower men to win in life and business.
Sometimes we can't wait for people to come to us. We got to go to them. Let's go. As a man, you gotta have critical thinking in a time of crisis. Be conscious of who you are connecting. Any crisis, you got what? The brotherhood. G-Man! G-Man!
Like, I die for my child, right? And my child asked me one day, she said, "Daddy, if something happened to you, who gonna take care of me?" And that's when I realized, Dads, we got to live for our children too. They're going to need us like down the road. So live and live a full life.
Full custody fatherhood. Full custody fatherhood. I know to a lot of people, depending how you were raised or what stage or age you find yourself at, that seems like an oxymoron, but it's not. And we have to challenge that information because without knowing it, we're all in silent agreement to a system that doesn't work. That typically, when parents go left and right, I mean, they split, the children typically go with the feminine energy, typically. And that's not always what's best for them. And the numbers are overwhelmingly showcasing that it's probably not what's best for them. But because we have so much myths and opinions, we typically just reject that it could be different. And that's why I asked Devin to help lead us in this conversation so we could know more. You know, for some people, your relationship with the mother of your child just won't work out. That's not a horrible thing. But it doesn't mean you have to give up full custody fatherhood. And even if you're doubting yourself, well, I really think my child is better with their mama. Let's rethink that and let's have a conversation around why. So as I did my research and as I prepared to set the stage before Devin takes us deep, some of the things that I found was shocking, but I need to take you guys through them very skillfully. So think about this. What if you were a child that was denied access to your parents? And you were a child of decision-making age. And you were simply denied access to your parents because of social, economic, and political injustices. So no one's really considering your feelings. They're just making a decision for your life. Now, I know two sisters, about 8 years apart, with the same mother, same father. And then one sister, she has two failed marriages and three different fathers to her four children. Her first child was born when she was 14 years of age. Now, during a pivotal moment of the second sister's life, she was in court with her parents over a custody hearing. And the judge turned to her and asked her, "Young lady, you're of decision-making age. Which parent would you want to live with?" And she pointed at her daddy and she said, "I would like to live with my father." And so she lived with her father. Now, the second daughter, who chose to live with her father, she has her MBA. She has been married over 15 years. She has a great career and a great family. She's my wife. Two sisters, same family. But Latasha chose to live with her daddy, and it has made all the difference. Trust me. I know, I'm married to her. In this country, fathers are granted custody 18.3% of the times. So that means, guys, all the other percentage goes the other direction. 18.3% of the times, more than 25% of fathers live apart from their children. When dads don't get custody of their children, they lose out on important parts of their relationship with their kids. Seeing them every day, that's huge. Asking how was their day every single day, helping them with homework, taking them to after school activities, and more importantly, just being there as a dad, building that father-child connection. And many men will never get to do that. In the 2006 film, The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith portrays Chris Gardner, a single father. And this single father managed to pull himself and his young son out of homelessness by becoming a successful stockbroker. If you haven't seen that movie, I challenge you to watch it, because it will really challenge you to rethink what you can handle. Now, when his wife at the time says he's leaving, Mr. Gardner says, "My son stays with me." And now when you watch the movie, there are certain scenes that will challenge you, like, ooh, I wonder if the mama should have took the son. Because there's a scene where they are sleeping in the bathroom at a train station on the floor. So there's some challenging moments. But as you continue to watch this movie, you see this father working extremely hard to change the situation for him and his son. And you see this father caring tenderly for his son. And by the end of the film, there's no way you watch the film and you're not convinced that that little boy didn't belong with his daddy. Now, according to the Pew Reports, which is a big research company, a single father family is better off financially than single mother families. Statistically, on average, single father families with two children gross about $40,000 a year, when single mother families gross around $26,000 a year with two children. So same situation almost, but just the difference. And again, they're just collecting research. Now, I know this is challenging for many, but I want to challenge everyone to put away your personal biases and your opinions based on childhood traumas. Because that's a lot of times when we have this conversation, all you're doing is remembering what you suffered through as a child in some way, shape, or form. And you're not joining the conversation advocating for the men you know are incredible men and incredible fathers. So we want to have a frank discussion on full custody fatherhood. And I want to give you some other statistics to consider before Devin Coleman just takes us deeper in what that looks like and how he arrived at full custody fatherhood. According to published data, it shows that African-American fathers spend more time in their children's day-to-day lives than dads from every other racial group. It also shows that African-American fathers are the most likely to be single father heads of household, edging out every other demographic. So typically, when that split happens, African-American fathers say, "I want the kids, if you don't mind," because they're so invested in seeing their children be and become whatever they can be and become. Now, here's a negative stat that I wanted to put in so we understand why this is important. About 24 million children in America live without their biological fathers. And I know some of us have experienced that, so we're like, what's so bad about that? It's horrible. According to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, also known as HUD, children without fathers in the home have a greater risk of poverty, are more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, and are more likely to drop out of high school and more likely to go to prison. You just said 24 million children are in that state. Now, we do know many men are working to overcome different barriers, including help with employment, child support, financial literacy, re-entering civilian life after a stint in prison, and, you know, doing small things like obtaining a driver's license, buying a car, purchasing a home. So we know that men have some work to do. But here's the truth. What do we do here in the G? We commit to building men, helping them find their voice, helping them learn to love and lead. And see, our work must be to uplift men and help them improve their circumstances so they can become the strength they want to be and need to be for their families, and most importantly, for their children. All right, Devin, I knew I cut into your time a bit, but I wanted to make sure I set the stage so all hearts and minds are clear for what you gotta do tonight. But take us away, Devin. Let me take you off mute.
Thanks, B. I appreciate it. You just made my chest drop talking about them statistics, and I lived it. I got a couple slides that I'm going to share, but I think I'm going to just have them up. And I think it'll be more valuable if I just talk to y'all from my heart, like G-Man. Like B said, a lot of us, we don't realize how important it is for a father to be involved in a child. And my life story has just made me jump full-fledged into it because I had to. I don't know if y'all can see this image, but this is what happened when Dad leave the house. And I want you to sit that right there. This is what happened. The mother says, I don't need a man. The daughter says, I don't want a man. And sometimes the son may say, I don't want to be a man. And that's because you left your post. The child doesn't have an example about what a man is going to be, right? So you leave it up to everybody else who really don't have their best interest at heart. Like, just think about it. Your child, that's your legacy. That's your lineage. That's literally your seed. And how far they blossom is just as much about us nurturing them versus letting society nurture them, right? I'm going to see some of these statistics right here, because what B said is very true. Now, when I got full custody of my daughter, I got one of those phone calls that a brother don't want to get. Seriously. Somebody called me and said, hey, if you care about your daughter, you need to be at the courthouse on this day, this time, in this room. And I'm like, man, what you talking about? They was like, just show up in court. And when I got to the courthouse, I walk in and find out that, you know, my daughter had siblings, and one of them had been abused physically. And not my daughter, but one of her siblings had been abused. All of them were in the house. The police came and intervened, and they took the children. And the hearing was actually about putting the children in foster care. They had temporary foster care system had control, but the children were sent with the maternal grandmother. Man, I didn't even get notified. I ain't even get notified, right? Because in the beginning, I really wasn't on my game. And I'm gonna be truthful with y'all so we can see progress and ownership, right? When me and her mother broke up, her mother left, I didn't know she was pregnant. I found out that she had a child from me after my baby was born. My baby was like 3-4 months old when I found out about her. At the time where she was transitioning into the foster care system because of that situation, I hadn't seen her in a year. Her mother had started dating somebody new that really like didn't like me or was intimidated by the path that I was on at that point in time. And she told me, I never forgot it. She said, I don't care if you ever see her again in life. And I didn't see my daughter from that day until being in the courtroom. And that was tough. The other father, her other siblings, their fathers were there, but they were on a birth certificate. I was the only one that wasn't on child support. Because I was in a situation that's my only child, I was able to give out the money without the system being involved, right? So looking at this paperwork, because the court system like doesn't care, it's black and white, right? Not really a lot of shades of gray, and they really don't want to hear our excuses either. The court paperwork say I abandoned my child. They say I abandoned my child. I didn't want to be involved in her life, any of that, right? And while some of the other fathers, they was able to proceed, I had to fight for the right to even say I'm the father. And I had to do what a lot of us have to do. I had to establish paternity. I went and got that DNA test. This is my seed. I went and got the DNA test, and it came back that she was my daughter. And now I'm in a position where I could fight. Now, a lot of brothers be scared to go in that courthouse, right? I'm a man of faith. All things work together for your good. So I done been in the criminal court before, looking at a life sentence. So I ain't scared to go in this courthouse because they ain't going to send me to jail. And I got to like fight to be in my daughter's life. And the judge asked me, it was a female judge, a Caucasian lady, and looking at it, you would be intimidated. But like I had no fear because my intent was pure. And she was like, why do you want custody of your daughter? And I said, because that's my child. It's my responsibility to take care of her. The grandparents was trying to fight for her, and I was like, no, that's my child. I said, they could support me in taking care of her, but she my responsibility. Now, during this process, what they had to do was they had to see was my home safe. And the first thing the attorneys for the mother said, man, listen, they talked about all the stuff that I had got convicted of in the past. And brothers, a lot of times we have baggage that we haven't resolved, right? And that puts us in a place where we'd be afraid to go after what we really supposed to go after. And that's why community is important. What gave me the courage to stay there when they brought up all that stuff about me that I didn't want to be talked about no more was the fact that I knew another brother that got custody of his daughter. Dude did 12 years for a murder case, right? A loss of life case. He was only home 1 year and he said they gave him custody. He said, bro, they gonna say everything up under the sun about you. As long as you ain't hitting on no women and abusing no children, they gonna give you your daughter. All right. They gave me a court appointed lawyer. And it was a white brother. And I'm saying this intentionally. And he told me, like, Devin, sit down and don't say nothing. And I'm like, because, you know, a lot of times we in a space now where if we talk loud, people hearing, they hear us, but they not necessarily listening, right? Man put me outside. He's like, listen, let them do all the talking they want to do, right? And he said, they're going to forget about you, and I'm going to get you custody of your daughter. So they come, and they check out my house, man. And while they checking out my house, I felt violated all over again. They had the guardian and light them come. And some of the people like from the foster care system, bro, they walking through my house, looking in my bedrooms, going through my refrigerator. The guardian and light them actually brought another man with her to my house, right? And because of my past, what was documented, they were trying to get a reaction from me. And my lawyer said as much. Because when we looked into it, she didn't take the other man to none of my daughter's siblings' houses. But they had girlfriends. I was the only one truly single. And she always brought that dude to my house. And my lawyer told me, he was like, guardian ad litem are volunteers. If she don't like you, it's going to be hard because the judge always going to listen to the volunteers. Because their best interest is supposed to be in the interest of the child, right? And this, well, you gotta, when you go into spaces that you don't know, you gotta, like, I was prayed up, and you gotta have sound counsel, and you gotta be courageous enough to listen to that sound counsel. And then we have to study to show ourselves approved, because it stopped being people calling in on me saying, My living space wasn't big enough. I had a one bedroom and I have a daughter, and it was like, she need to have her own room. And that's not true. The law is, since she's my biological daughter, she don't need another room. But if you was getting a foster child, then that foster child would have to have another room, right? Because we're going back to the fact that that's my seed. They looked at my income, ran through that. And man, after everything came back, the judge like sat in front of me. Well, you know, we sitting in front of the judge And she was like, are you ready to take your daughter home? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, custody awarded. And she hit the gavel. Boom! Gave me custody of my daughter. Now watch this. I said all that in the beginning because despite what's going on in the world, you got to be open-minded because you don't know who gonna help you, right? Sometimes we think because of somebody's race or somebody's gender, they're going to be more inclined to help you or hurt you, and that's not always the case. You got to judge each person by their spirit. When I told them people I was ready, that's what I had to say. I wasn't necessarily ready, man. I had been a weekend father, but I didn't know what it looked like to be a full-time dad, right? And I had a real mama. My mama said, we're going to help you, but that's your child and that's your responsibility. You're going to take care of your daughter because the men in this family take care of their children. And they sent my baby home with me. And I didn't have like any resources. Like I tried to do the food stamps. I did. They gave me $16 a month. And when they saw that I would take the $16 a month, they didn't give it to me no more. I didn't get no housing support. The only reason I got the voucher for the child care in the beginning is because it was enacted during the transitional phase from the foster care system, right? Brothers, listen to me clearly now. After that paperwork was dotted and the custody was awarded to me, they cut the child care assistance too. And then told me I had to have certain shots for her before school. I wasn't equipped. I ain't know where to go. But again, my spirit was right and my heart was right. And people saw that I was trying to do right. I think Coach Kendall said this before. Like, if you broke down in the middle of the road, people going to hit the horn. But if people see you trying to push the car, somebody going to jump out and help you. Bruh, the daycare that she was going to decided to keep my price the same because she saw how the system was doing me. So she kept my price the same as if I had the voucher. She pulled me to the side not to embarrass me. And she was like, look, this what shots you need to get for her. This what you need to go at to get the shots. And I listened because she saw that I really wanted what was best for my daughter, man. And I went and got those shots. Now, in doing this, I had to learn how to be a man in that space and not a male. And then how we talk about our stages, I had to be mature because being a black man, full-time dad with gold teeth and a record, people judge me. And my fear was that people would judge me and punish her because she wouldn't have access to certain things because she lived with her father. Right. I remember taking her to the doctor's office and they asked me, where was her mother? And I responded because I'm spending my money because, of course, we didn't qualify for certain things. Right. I say, well, when mothers bring their kids, do you ask where the father at? They got quiet. And then I noticed other little slight stuff like, you know, y'all know we go to the doctor a certain age. You got to, you know, use the bathroom. They got to test the urine. Right. So this way, like, I got to be a man and not a male because if my temper get the best of me, even though I'm right, it doesn't serve my child. You know what I'm saying? And, man, they didn't want me to go in the bathroom with her, but I'm like, I'm a daddy. You ain't going in the bathroom with her. And if a mother was in here with her son, right, you wouldn't think nothing about it. It's not my fault that they got to get used to us men being involved with our children. That's they deal. But I tell you this, that was the last time I ever took my daughter to that place. Because they're going to respect me. They're going to respect our relationship. And they're going to respect my money. Another thing is, especially like when you get in custody of your child, man, you got to think about identity. So in my particular situation, my daughter didn't have my last name when she came to live with me. She had her mother's boyfriend's last name. And I raised Colemans, right? I raised Colemans. And the judge happened to believe that I should raise a Coleman too. So the judge, like, changed her name, added my name to her birth certificate. So legally, I'm good. Bruh, pay attention to this. a lot of times we may be legally good, but we got to think about the emotional things. My baby was like 5, 6 years old at the time, and she don't understand all the changes. And I had to give her grace because she didn't like her last name. She didn't want my last name. And I had to like build me a system of women around me to help nurture her and myself through that space. And right now, today, if you ask her, she'll tell you she a Coleman, and she proud to be a Coleman, and she won't let you call her nothing else. But that might have took me a year of transition, getting her to the space where she was okay with being a Coleman. You don't have to know it all. What you got to do is know what you don't know and surround yourself with what you don't know, you know? And I built that because I wanted to make sure that she had some solid women influences in her life, because I'm a dad, I can't teach her how to be a woman. I protect and provide, but being with her one-on-one, I learned how to be cognizant of certain things, and I learned how to nurture as well, right? Also now, what we got to do is we got to produce, right? And I started out in a one-bedroom, and I had to figure out how to make some legitimate money to give her options that I didn't have. I finished my schooling. I did my business things. And then you know what else I had to do? I had to be a wise steward over what I was given. Bro, I'm going to tell you something. I had a good job. This when I was in the politics, working on criminal justice reform. B, it was important that I grew. See, they tell you that they care about these children, right? And I don't know. All I know is my daughter got hurt, took her to the hospital. It could have been a sprained wrist or a broken wrist. I didn't have insurance at the time, right? Law, the emergency room got to make sure you stay before they let you go. They put one of them temporary casts on our hand and told us we could go, right? Told me to schedule a follow-up. So I'm like, okay, they're going to take care of them. Man, when I called, they had already let them know that I ain't had no insurance. And they said I had to pay in full before I could set the appointment. Now imagine me as a man, how I felt knowing that I didn't have insurance, number one, and I had to find the money so my daughter could get basic needs taken care of. I ended up having a good support system, got the money up. They did not set that appointment until I paid that money. Paid the money in cash. They wanted cash. They ain't want no check. They wanted cash. And this is a real hospital too. And then they saw, they priced it out and they gave me what was left. That was the first and last time I ever took my child to the hospital without having insurance. Matter of fact, from that day to this day, there's certain things that I make sure are in place for her. Bruh, like it's one thing to like buy your kids clothes, right? Buy them school supplies and all that, but you gotta leave them something while you teaching them something. So I had to get with a lawyer. I'm a single dad. I had to get with a lawyer and get me a will put in place. I had to get my life insurance straight and do it in a way where if I met an untimely demise, it was enough for whoever taking care of her for it not to alter their life. I got an allowance for whoever gonna take care of my child. Make sure our insurance straight. And then I'm teaching her about finances. I'm teaching her about money. I got her watching Buffett kids. But Devin, why are you doing that? Because we're talking about building generational wealth. I'm building the pass on. And how many times in our lifetime have we saw one generation pass it on to the next generation and they squander it? Start over from scratch. We ain't doing no more starting over from scratch. And I'm even teaching her that because I think in our environment at times, if you look at some of the athletes and some just people interview, they always talk about how they started from nothing and they got it out the mud. Bro, 2-3 generations in, nobody should be getting it out the mud no more. Everybody's feet should be clean, right? We ain't getting it out the mud. If you still getting out the mud, somebody done failed along the way. So it's all about like preparing her for how to move forward. And then with that in mind, it's always in the back of my mind how to continue to maintain the custody, right? And how I say you continue to maintain the custody of your child, it's like just continue to grow and level up. And I mean level up in all aspects of your life. Like, I actually talk to my daughter and I tell her I'm concerned about what she think. I'm concerned about how she feel. I want to know who her friends are. And then she knows that I'm not her friend. I'm her daddy. We have a friendship, but I'm her father. She gonna meet plenty of friends. She 12 years old now. She gonna meet plenty of friends through her life. She got one daddy, and it's my responsibility to raise her. It's this Bible verse that I got, and I'm gonna share it with y'all, right? And it said it's 1 Timothy 5:8, and it say, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Worse than an unbeliever. Bro, this is what early and positive fatherhood involvement does. It leads to greater academic success. It leads to more positive social behavior, fewer conduct problems, self-esteem, lower levels of depression, and it reduced contact with the juvenile justice system. I tell her she's beautiful every day. And I mean it, like, she really is beautiful to me, right, and precious. But I let her know, because I know if I don't tell her, either somebody gonna tell her she ugly to break down her self-esteem, or somebody gonna try to sweet talk her. I don't even open the door for that type of stuff. We gotta have like real conversations with our children, man. Sometimes we ride, I let her play the music. Like, you DJ, she DJ. Like, you DJ, she play the music. You wanna know why? I wanna see what she listening to. Her friends, they come to my house. And I've created such an environment that women feel comfortable dropping their children off at my house and letting their kids stay at my house, because, like, I'm a man. And I rule everything up under me, right, with love and care. And that's what being a father is all about. And I encourage you, like, as you're going through your path, and as you like raising your children, man, spend time with your children and get to know them and understand, like, what the biggest shock for me was, you know, like I said, I used to get my daughter on the weekends. And when I started getting her, when she had to live with me every day, I saw how my life got altered. Like, it's certain things I couldn't do. I had to set up daycare systems. If I wanted to go out on dates, I had to set up childcare for after that. Just all that small stuff that I didn't pay attention to. B was talking about earlier, the systematic and cultural barriers for our children, right? Going to court, don't be afraid to go to court, man. And the court system does make it difficult. I know in Florida back in the day, visitation and child support used to be the same. They determined it at the same time, and now they don't. You gotta go one time for child support and another time for visitation. And visitation actually affect the amount of child support you pay. But you got to fight. That's your child. You're responsible for your child. Like, you got to fight. Don't be afraid to go to court. And then with child support, like, I see so many brothers, like, they either don't want to pay the child support, right? Or they feel like, they'll be like, well, I'm giving her cash. Nah. Cash is considered a gift. All the clothes and stuff, that's considered a gift. Pay your money. And when you pay your money, have receipts for paying your money. So when you go to court, they don't say you abandoning your child. And then understand that sometimes if you don't have the money, your presence is just as valuable, especially to your children. And be cognizant that a lot of people not used to seeing dads. Before I wrap, I want to share, like, so I do a lot of engagement, and I'm headed towards working with fathers with felony convictions. And I hear people talk a lot about mothers incarcerated. So I got with a friend of mine and pulled data. And according to the U.S. Department of Justice, it's about 1.5 million children that have parents that's involved with the criminal justice system right now. And we rarely hear about dads in prison. 93% of men in prison got children. You got 100 and 26,100 mothers in jail or prison right now. This according to the U.S. Department of Justice. You got 1,372,000 men. And when those dudes get done during their time, you know, based on how our system is and how we view people that go do time, even though we talk about the criminal justice system being skewed one way, right? And make it even that much harder to get back into the house. Like, just to break it down, if you think about it, if you got a felony conviction, you can't live in subsidized housing. So that breaks the household up. And we saw the statistics earlier, what happens when dad not involved with his child. We saw the statistics, right? If the brother not making no money, his self-esteem gonna be low if all his value is placed on the money at that time and he not thinking about how to grow, right? Then he not involved with his children. And then the stigma that dad can't get custody of his children, whether shared custody or full custody. That's a lie. You just gotta position yourself in order to do so. Like right now today, if you're in positions like that, reach out, man, and get that information. You know what I'm saying? Get you some stable living and start like building your bread up. And it's different when you got children because you got to build your bread up for what may happen. You know, in certain environments that I was okay living with single by myself that I won't live in with my daughter. So I work, I created a business and I'm managing my money properly. B, if I can, I wanna share a video. Is that okay? All right. And actually this is something I did. I was invited to the first 1,000 days. It was I work with Northeast Florida Healthy Start. I just did something on the federal level talking about early coalition funding and just other childhood programs. So watch this, brothers. It's a journey. Like, I went from not being able to get into those programs. Now I'm consulting on a high level because they want dads to get involved. In the past, some of the programs, this is the thing, some of the funding was tied to mother and child. The funding wasn't tied to dad, so dad wasn't a priority. And now it's being more pushes to get dads involved because the system can't bear up taking care of the child on their own no more. It's too expensive. But this is one of the excerpts about vulnerability.
We might cry a little bit, be like, okay, I need what you have. But I want to talk about the vulnerability of men and men in these systems.
The premise of man is you're supposed to be able to protect and provide. So if I can't protect or provide, what good am I? Now, I had a challenging moment when I first got it, my money was tight. And let's go back. It was the time where I couldn't buy my daughter my pampers. Like, I didn't have no money to buy pampers, but no raw either pay for all because I owe both of them. and you know, I was thinking like, how do I get these pampers? I don't want to lean on my family. And One of my fathers, he was like, "Hey, you want some money, go get your pampers." Right? And that was tough, taking that money from him to get the pampers. Because I'm supposed to be protecting and provide. I got this image that I think is important, when the most important thing was to get the pampers for my child. So it's tough saying that I need help because you're thinking about how that person is viewing you. And especially as a man, if I say, I need help, it's the perception that this individual I'm talking to not gonna think that I'm qualified to take care of my child because I need the help. And then on the flip side of it is when a child get older, they start to pay attention to certain things. Recently, I had to, you know, decide to move into another apartment. And I'm, you know, in 2001, I was convicted of a felony offense. And I had to go away and do some time. And August 16th, being 12 years that I've been free. And in that time, I've done a lot of things to like make records better and make my life better and position myself for success, right? And me and my daughter were shopping for so much state. And they told me that I couldn't live there because of the previous conviction that happened that I was convicted of 17 years ago. And it was sad that they told me that because I'm thinking about I need someone to save to house my child. Like, I gotta have someone to house my child. They don't think about it. It's just to me about I don't have anyone to house my child. I'm gonna take my child. Not help me try to get someone else to save me. Thing that pinched me the most was walking back to the car. When my daughter said, "Daddy, you're not that person. You're a good man." She said, "Why they judge you when something happened in your past? It's the present." You see what I'm saying? And at that point, I'm thinking like, dang, I'm thinking like, am I still a hero? You know, like, and am I Superman? Or now, am I Clark Kent? And it's like trying to figure out how to navigate that. And when we dealing with dads, dads have those type of frustrations, and that's why at times it seems like dad lashing out because he want to protect his Superman image. Because at times in our society, we don't make it okay to be Clark Kent.
Yeah, so again, that was you know something I was doing because they wanted to understand why dads wasn't being engaged, brothers. And I'm closing on saying, and I shared it like that because it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to lean on your brothers. Like at that moment when I had to get the diaper money from my guy, he knew what type of decisions I was thinking about making. And he was like, "Nah, bro, put your pride to the side. It's about the child. Like, when are we gonna start making decisions for the best interests of our children and our families?" And that's what I want to leave y'all with.
You have been listening to the G-Men podcast. Like, review, and share this episode if something you heard challenged you to grow and positioned you to lead.